are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So I've been holding myself there when I said Sankomas because, yeah, I know. Yeah. So there is a spiritual element when it comes to prophecy. However, there is a spiritual element in many other modes of communication to spirits and divinities. The Bible warns us that we may encounter false prophets who try to deceive us. So we are going to be unpacking this with Pastor Darlington Noah, who's joining us on the line so that we can understand what is keeper and with the prophets, with the seers, with the mediums, because we have been speaking about prophets throughout the whole week. My pastor, good morning. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And how are you?
I am good, Mfundiswami. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let us pray. Our gracious Father, who art above, Lord, we want to say thank you for this time and moment as we are discussing things concerning our eternal value. May you please lead us. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mfundisi, we're speaking about prophets, seers, sangomas, and mediums, right? So the past 2 days where we've been able to speak nicely, we have looked at what prophets are, in fact, what qualities a prophet is supposed to have. So in case someone is listening to us today, Mfundiswami, they were not able to get that. So let's first define, what is a prophet? What spirit is the prophet using to prophesy?
Okay, thank you so much for the question. A prophet, as we said before, he is an intermediator between God and man. He is the one who conveys God's message to his people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prophet. So the prophet is now using the spirit of God. Is influenced with God's spirit. That's a prophet. Mm.
So the prophet is using the spirit of God. So what about mediums, seers, and sangomas? They are also carrot readers and stuff like that. What about every other person? Are we saying every other person except for the prophets, they are not using the spirit of God?
Yeah, there is those prophets, seers, sangomas, and all of them, they used them. They were all spiritists. But however, we need to test now. There's a need for us to test if the spirit is coming from God or if it is not coming from God. So there are two different spirits which can influence a person.
Mm. Okay, so coming back to... yes, may I continue?
So maybe we must know how to test the spiritual gift of prophecy so that we can be able to differentiate between the two, the Holy Spirit and the evil spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was going, Mfundiswami, saying that because we have said that a prophet is using the spirit of God and the others, they are using other spirits. Is there a test so that that can be done? Or is there a test that has been done to determine that, yes, Zanele is a prophet of God? Because we may argue that even the prophets, some of them, they're not using the right spirit. So is there a test that is a prophetic text test that can be done?
Of course, yes. The test is there. If you read the Bible very carefully, the Bible warns us that we may encounter false prophets who try to deceive us. And today, it's almost a reflex to think someone is crazy if they claim to be a prophet or to be exercising the prophetic gift. But the Bible also tells us not to despise prophecies, but to test all things, hold on to what is good.
Mm.
That is if we read Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21.
Mm.
And also 1 John 4, verse 1 also tells us to test the spirits to see if their messages are truly from God.
Mm.
Then number one test we must know if the prophetic gift will always be in harmony with the Bible.
Okay.
Number two, the prophetic gift will always uplift Jesus as the Son of God, the world Savior who became flesh and died to save humanity. Then number three, the prophetic gift will be demonstrated by someone who bears good fruit. The following one is the prophetic gift will always glorify God, not self. Then the fifth one, in the prophetic gift, it involves information about the future. There should be no room for error. Then I'll explain maybe one by one for clarity's sake.
Yes, please.
Number one, the prophetic gift will always be in harmony with the Bible. We are warned that if prophets do not speak according to God's word, it is because there is no light in them. That is according to Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 20. There are also several notes of caution throughout the New Testament about hearing a different gospel. That is from Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Than what the Bible reveals, Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, and also Ephesians 4, verse 14 tallies with that sense. Then if we go on to our second point, that is the prophetic gift will always uplift Jesus as the Son of God. The world is Savior who became flesh and died to save humanity. We find it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and 3. And if you read Revelation 19, verse 10, even says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophets. If anyone's message goes against any who Jesus is and what he means to humanity, they are not exercising the true gift of prophecy as given by the Holy Spirit. Then our third test, we said the prophetic gift will be demonstrated by someone who bears good fruit. If you read Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20, it tells us that to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves who will know them by their fruits. While no one is perfect all the time, our general habits of our fruits will ultimately show the priorities of our life. You might ask about the prophet in question. Do they practice what they preach? And then if they are caught not doing so, do they confess and repent? That is another test now. Then the fourth one, the prophetic gift will always glorify God, not self. In today's trends of individualism, it can be easy for a self-exalting prophet to sneak into a message that sounds good and true. But the glory is always to be God's. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of prophets, and he can take it away as well. If anyone's words promote ideas about any human being able to save themselves or obey the law themselves, or that God's grace isn't needed, that's a red flag. It's a warning to us. When you hear a message from someone claiming to have the gift of prophets, ask yourself at the heart of this message, who comes out with the glory or the recognition? If the prophet is sincere, the answer should clearly and unmistakably be God. Then the last one, If the prophetic gift involves information about the future, there should be no room for error. This was the advice of the prophet Jeremiah when he said, as for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the Lord of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one who the Lord has truly sent. That is from Jeremiah chapter 28, verse number 9. And if you look at the prophecies in the Bible that were filled, you notice that things came to pass exactly as they were described. So that's the test we can use to all the prophets, so that we can know if the spirit that way that is being used is coming from God or not.
So like, if you can unpack a little bit, Mpundiswami, where you said that the prophecy must be in line with this, with the Bible, right? So does that mean that if a prophet comes to me now and gives me a prophecy, they should also quote the Bible in the verse, a verse in the Bible? For example, they would say, no, we are seeing that, you know, you are being attacked, but remember in the book of Psalm 91, then they quote that, and then they're saying, but the Lord is saying this. Should they be quoting the Bible within the prophecy, or they can just say that, no, we are seeing that you're undergoing a spiritual attack, therefore pray according to the book of Psalm 91?
Okay, thank you so much for the question. We can not use one test only, but we must use all five of them.
I
so
see.
That's how we find the one to be a prophet.
So all of the tests
so
must be
so one
food.
Test is not enough. Yeah, of course, yes.
So are we able to do on the prophets, right? Are we able to do the prophetic test? Like, does it take time, or is it a once-off thing? So, for example, Mfundiswami, if now I'm walking, right, so after the show, here I am, I'm deciding to walk, like, take a walk around where we are, where we are situated, you know, for fresh air, stretching my legs, and then I meet a person, and then they give me a prophecy. They tell me what the Lord has told them to do. How am I going to do that test? Because, one, I don't know the person. Two, we just met, and after that, we just parting ways. Do we have such instances, or we should be wary of people just rocking up in our faces and saying, the Lord has said?
Okay, thank you so much. I told it before that the prophetic gift will be demonstrated by someone who bears good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot you cannot now know the fruits in one day. So
yes,
it is a process now for you to know whether the prophet is true or not.
Mm.
So you take time examining your prophet and then you give conclusion at the end.
Okay. All right. So what are the dangers then, Mfundiswami, for us to engage in the wrong spirits? We're not saying that others are using wrong spirits, but if now the tests have been failed, or we see this one is not in line with what God has said the prophet should do or should not do. So what are the dangers of us engaging in with those people, with those unfamiliar spirits?
Okay. Thank you so much. There is a danger now in for the one to engage in the wrong spirit.
Mm.
Let us look at the story of Samuel in the Bible.
Mm.
Samuel had died. Samuel's death was originally reported in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1.
Mm.
Here, the fact is mentioned again to emphasize the spiritual vacuum left by Samuel's departure.
Mm.
So he had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. To his credit, so obeyed the commandments of the Mosaic law to cast out those who practiced occultist arts. God commanded that mediums and spirits, those who either can or claim to conduct the dead and spirit beings, should have no place among his people in passages such as Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, and chapter 20, verse 6 and 27. And in Deuteronomy, again, chapter 18, verse 9 and 14, so did this in his earlier days when he was still influenced by Samuel's leadership. And so said, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. It wasn't easy to find a medium in the land of Israel, because Saul had previously put them out of the land. Saul asked his staff to find him one, and they suggested a woman in the city of Endor. Traditionally, this woman is not as the witch of Endor. It may be appropriate to call her a witch, but it is more accurate to call her a medium or a necromancer, one who makes contact with the dead. The Hebrew word for medium is og, and it is the idea of mumbling or speaking with a strange hollow sound, as if one were channeling with a dead person, speaking through them. The Hebrew word has in mind the sound the channel makes as they speak. The English word now is medium.
Okay.
Yes, in mind the concept of channel. They stand in between the world of the living and the dead, and communicate between the two worlds. Spiritists and mediums were common among the pagan peoples of the Bible lands. God warned the children of Israel against becoming involved in the practices just prior to their entry into the promised land of Canaan. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consult the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. That is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 to 12. Then if you look at the very person the king saw of Israel, he sought counsel from a medium called the witch of Endor. The armies of Israel were about to be attacked by the Philistines. Saul was in rebellion against God and in desperation sought the service of the spiritist. Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seer, a saint for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. That is 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 8. So then asked the medium to conjure up the spirit of the deceased prophet Samuel to ask his counsel regarding the pending Philistine attack. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form. And he said an old man is coming up.
Mm.
And he is covered with a mantle. And so perceived that it was Samuel.
Mm.
And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. I want you to note this. So should he have known better than to consult with a medium.
Mm.
For God had warned in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute himself by following them.
Mm.
I will cut him off from his people. The end result of King Saul's quest was tragic.
Mm.
Shortly after his visit to the witch, the king was wounded in a battle and took his own life rather than being captured by the enemy. Was the spirit conjured up by the medium a genuine agent of God?
Mm.
Was it actually the deceased prophet Samuel, or was it a spirit imposter?
Mm.
The Bible says, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward.
Mm.
For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun.
Mm.
In other words, for sure we know it couldn't be Samuel, because when we die, we know nothing. For more information, there are some key details that must not be overlooked first. The spirit was ascending out of the earth. Those who believe that when you die, your spirit goes up to heaven, have to ask themselves, why was Samuel's spirit coming up from the earth rather than down from heaven?
Yes, yes.
Second, when the spirit speaks to Saul, it gives a prediction. The spirit says, tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Again, we have to ask, if Samuel is a good man and a prophet of the Lord, isn't he supposed to be in heaven? If we assume that the spirit of Samuel is in heaven, then how can Saul, who is in rebellion against the Lord, also end up where Samuel is the next day? It seems the spirit is a lying spirit.
Mm.
So the answer is in the Bible. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, if you read NIV, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance and did not inquire of the Lord. The medium spirit was an imposter, for scripture clearly states that Saul did not inquire of the Lord.
I think this one is a very interesting one, Mpundiswami, where we get now to distinguish between which is who. But I'm happy that, you know, you've explained the prophetic test for us. We're going to end it here today as we are going into the week of prayer. And then tomorrow we're going to be wrapping up, Mpundiswami. So thank you so much for today. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.